Father, we thank you so much that we can gather the first day of the week, Lord, to learn more about you, the mind of Christ, and the pages of scriptures that we have in our hands. Father, we are so thankful that you are our God and our Lord and our Creator, and we're just thankful that we know you, and thank you, Lord, for your plan of salvation to us. Father, give us wisdom as we understand your word this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In Philippians chapter 3, we have the mind or the thinking. Because sometimes we as believers, we get caught up in our thinking. I call it thinking. You know, because sometimes with the same mind, I mean, just like what we just did this morning, we come and gather here and we study the Word of God. But at the same time, the mind can affect the way we think. We can have a negative or we can have a positive thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? Even within the church, we can come and, you know, worship the Lord and you know, with songs and reading the word and our giving. That's how we worship the Lord, of course. But it could be during the message that our mind can shift, just because something that the pastor said or something that somebody said, or by the behavior of some people around us. You get a couple of people talking and it distracts you way the way you're thinking. But at the same time, that also stops your worship. Do you see what I'm saying? So it stops the way you concentrate into to the Word of God. And your mind can actually switch now from the academic instruction that you have. Just like Pastor Stephen says, give me your undivided attention. Because he wants you to concentrate 100% on what he's saying. He doesn't want your mind to be, you know, just going around, because you don't get what he's trying to tell you. And sometimes when the pastor is giving a message, even though, you know, that's why it's extremely important that we come filled with the Spirit to take in the word. Because if not, if the Spirit gives in a word for us and is to edify us, but we are not in fellowship, and then what's going to happen? We're going to react to that negative volition. And that will be a counterattack then to the brethren, to the pastor, to whatever, and that's going to become a casualty. And it happens often. It happens often. We don't realize that sometimes. And sometimes the individual doesn't recover. But if you are a mature believer, you recover like this. Because we are basically commanded to walk by the Spirit. Because some people that don't recover, that means that they have a habit of doing that and they don't recover. They have a habit of sinning and they don't recover. Next thing you know, they're sinning. They don't even know that they're sinning. You see what I'm saying? But the person that recovers, 1 John 1:9, as soon as he sins, he confesses it. As soon as he sins, confesses it. You know, he knows that he's clean. You come to worship, something happens in your mind, you confess it right there. You don't have to say it loud, just forgive me. So, but in the Christian life though, what happens? People are always with a negative volition. They are not basically coming to worship in a positive volition. That's why the pages of scripture doesn't talk to them. God is spiritual. You come here with the old sin nature in charge, of course the pages of scripture is not going to talk to you, because they're not spiritual. You know, so that's what we say, having, you know, the same thinking. So that's what we call in the thought testing. Because thought, you know, the enemy is going to really attack us, especially in the last days, where our thinking is going to be crucial. You know, it's the seed of our heart. As a man thinks, Proverbs 27:3 says, as a man thinks, so he is. So what we think is extremely important. From there we start that thought. Good thought, bad thought. It all comes from there. You know, how we think of somebody that we like. How do we think of somebody that we don't like? That's the issue. You know what I'm saying? Believers. I'm talking about us believers. Believers. Because it can become a hindrance of our spiritual growth. That's why we need to start having that undivided attention, especially towards the Word of God, so we can mature. If not, we're going to be wasting time. We can come and gather together as a habit, but not maturing. There are people that have been going to church for their whole life, but you ask them about the Word of God and they have no idea. The reason why there's no maturity, because sometimes what happens, there's this lack of concentration. There is, you know, they love the songs, and during the message they leave their seats and they find the bathroom. I don't know if you noticed that many times. Bugs me to death, you know, because the pastor, they prepare his message. He wants your undivided attention. And then about half of the message, they come, they sit next to you, and they'll tell you, you know, I was in the bathroom. And you're hearing it behind you. Do you see what I'm saying? It happens in churches across America, across the world. But it's actually a tool that the enemy uses without thinking that we take it for granted. Simple. What we think. We actually able to control our thinking. We able to switch from academic instruction as soon as we get to church and says, Lord, I'm here to worship you. That's what I always like to sit in the front. Because I don't want to hear anything, you know. Because in the back, if you sit all the way in the back, you see everything that's happening. If you are going to worship, you're going to see that these people are not worshiping. They're just here as a habit of coming to church week after week and just waste time, basically. In eternity, that is not going to count for anything. You know, all that daylight that they wasted their entire lives. No maturity. And that's what's happening in our country. No maturity whatsoever. People are drinking milk all the time, eating cereal, they're not eating steak. You know, there's a foundation, Jesus Christ, but they don't add anything to the foundation. You know, they just... So, in James chapter 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness, in humility, that means teachability, receive the word implanted so it takes root in your life, which is able to deliver our souls. That's the basis of our belief, you know. When we come and worship in adoration to the Lord, if we are coming just like our giving, you know, we can come and give thousands and thousands of dollars. But what's in your thought when you gave it? What were you thinking? Is it appreciation of the Lord, what the Lord has done, you know, in your life? Or is it just a habit? I'm going to church and the guy just goes, just like the priest, the Pharisees. They go, put the money right in the oven. And this lady had 2 pennies. That's all she had. 2 pennies. And the Lord just said, she gave more than the others because of her heart. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. How are we thinking? Not just about the pastor, our brothers and sisters, the people we work with. Do you see what I'm saying? It's all comes around. We can be great in church, but we go to work on Monday, we flunk. How does that glorify God? And here comes Friday again. Okay, I'm going to get charged up again. It's not how it is. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to get here the Word of God just to help us to go through, so be an example at work, because we are missionaries at work. That's where God gets glorified, not here. And here we come to worship. But God gets glorified at work because of how we actually present ourselves to those people. Those people are different. there's something in them that, you know, you don't even have to say anything. I mean, but if our actions are just like the world, of course they're not going to see the difference. But if we're caring, we're humble, we have a servant attitude, you know what I'm saying, they're going to see that. But if we are proud and we are, you know, they're going to see that also. They're going to see that. They're going to put it together. That's why sometimes they call Christians hypocrites. Like one pastor says, yeah, there's more room for one more, you know. But, you know, I don't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, come in, there's room for one more. You know. But, you know, as we grow, to me is the one thing that I always see when I go and visit churches, you know, sometimes I go to North Carolina or South Carolina, or, you know, and I go visit churches, and the way they welcome you, you know, and the way they do the service, you know, sometimes you wonder how are they worshiping, you know, are they worshiping from what the Word of God says, or are they worshiping to just attract people so they can have a good offering at the end? Because churches have a technique, you know, churches have become a business. They got churches right now that they have actually a way you can slide your credit card when you come in. Oh yeah, so you give it your tithe, and even you show up, you don't show up. If you didn't show up, they can go online and you have the permission for you to, because that's what they say. So if you don't come, it's a weekly thing, it automatically goes to the church. Yeah. So has become a scheme of the devil. Yeah, sometimes you don't hear those things until you actually, you know, I do a lot of research about churches because that's my job. You know, I have to support missionaries. So I want to see their backgrounds to see what they believe. You know, are they rooted to the Word of God or not? And I see how they do different types of what they call, quote unquote, worship. Yeah, so when you see a congregation that is running like a worldly business, and then you know that it's all for them, it's not for God. And we get shocked, especially now, because we say, how can churches do that? You know, how can they? Yeah, this is Satan's world. And we basically, if we don't concentrate in the Word of God, if we don't go to the roots, how the church started. We go from the apostles with Paul, what he used to teach. If you're teaching something different than what I thought, Paul says, let it be anathema. I don't care if the angels came, he said, teaching something different than I thought, and then, you know, let it be anathema. Because things were happening in those days. You know, some groups believed that Jesus Christ wasn't human, that he was just, you know, God. You know, there's no way that he could have been a human person. And they were coming to the churches teaching that. Some people were saying that the resurrection already happened. So Paul had to write to all those people. Unfortunately, we don't have that issue here now. What we have, Satan has infiltrated all this garbage into the churches. Just what you see in our world system. You know, that's his world. You know, when we heard about those missionaries in Africa, that because Satan works different there than he works in the United States. There was in this African nation, there was a dancer. This guy was actually, his eyes were spinning, you know. And then he, during the dance, for about 2 hours, he was in a trance. And he took a knife, cut his belly, and started pulling out his guts, his stomach. And then 2 hours later, puts it back in, and he gets healed. We don't experience that here in the United States. But Satan works in our system, in our school systems, in our churches. That's how, that's how he works. The offices, in the government, in the jails, drugs, alcoholism. That's where he works. He can't really, because it will be so obvious for the world to see. That's why we are much more, I guess, domesticated in that way, you know. But in those other countries, you know, if Satan pulls out of one person, they will call that healing. did you know what I'm saying? And he didn't heal anybody. He just came out of that person. But they call that healing. That's why they're going to say, in your name we did miracles. But just say, no, the only thing he did, come out of there. And Satan gets the glory instead of God. That's why we have to be so careful. There's a lot of movements going on anymore, especially with the healing, because sometimes we believe, is Satan working on those peoples? You know, I'm not saying that God doesn't heal. He heals because he asks us to pray. You know, somebody is sick, you know, let's pray for them. But when you go to a group, you know, and that person has a demonic influence or something like that, you know, be careful how we approach that. Because sometimes it could be Satan doing miracles instead of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Because Satan himself, the only thing that he would do is come out of that person. A demon will come out of that person. And it would look like a miracle happened. You see that on TV? You see that on TV many times. Many times. It looks like the work of God, but it's the work of the enemy. And it's huge. And more of that is going to happen. More of that is going to happen. See, if you go all the way to Africa, you go to Haiti and all those other countries, you know, in Mexico there are some, but not as much as well. It used to be more when I grew up, there was so much more, but now has changed. But the way the Word of God has been taught now, categorically, is disappearing because there's so much work. You dig out the truth. You put it in the table, and people, through the Holy Spirit, understand the Word of God. It becomes life. They get the Rhema. People don't practice that anymore. They just want to hear a good, feel message. And when they go home, they ask me, what did the preacher? Oh, he was talking about so and so and so and so there. There's nothing of that redemption, justification. You can't lose your salvation. You know, you're secure in Christ. You're sitting in heaven places. You know, all those things. That's what Satan wants to do. He doesn't want you to know that you were seated in the heavenly places. That's the only thing. What Satan wants to do, he wants to take a sword and battle with you, because that's the only thing he can do. He hated the ascension. First of all, when Christ resurrected, he goes, no way! Now, he didn't want him to go to ascend, because he knows that he sits next to God the Father. Those who believe in him will be seated also. And he wanted to stop them. He can't defeat us. He's already defeated. The Pastor Shabella says, go back where you come from. Go to hell. You know, that's what we have to tell him sometimes. But, yeah, he's defeated. He's defeated. He's done away with. We that believe in Christ, we sit in heaven places. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. Satan has no power over us. He's done away with. That's why we shouldn't be afraid. I'm not saying we're going to go and tackle him. Don't tackle him by yourself, believe me. Especially in the old sin nature. You're going to be a casualty. You know, but the Word of God that dwells in us, categorical doctrine, that store in the compartments of our soul. He hates the blood. He hates when you're filled with the Spirit. He hates when we pray. He hates when we have body life. He hates all those things. You know, that's the way that we learn to utilize those tools that we have so we can push him away. He can't touch us. He can only touch us when we allow him to touch us. That's it. When we lower that arm, the guard, you know, when the sword of the Spirit, you know, the Word of God, when we separate ourselves from God and do and follow the desires of our flesh, he goes, I got you. When we leave that vacuum open, he gets in. Really quick. He's always waiting. He has files and files of us. Brian failed here. Luis failed here. I mean, he has files. He knows exactly where we fail. He knows our weakest link. And he gets there. He digs and digs and digs until you give in. That's his plan. Whatever it is, that's his plan. And he goes and accuses before the Father. He does his homework. I got proof. Here, Lord. This is what they did. You know what the beauty says? God says, it is finished. Goodbye, says it is finished. Case closed. Goodbye, Satan. And that's the beauty. Because we are a child of God. We are sitting in heavenly thrones. Christ died once and for all. It is finished. It's done away with. That's who we are. So I just wanted to encourage you this morning. Amen.